month in serving the Lord through serving the church as an act of worship. And there's one area that we still need some volunteers. We didn't mention it 2 weeks ago, but that's the setup team for the kids' church. So every morning we have this blow-up tent that goes up. It takes about half an hour, and so we need some volunteers to help us with that. If you feel that you are strong enough to push a button, then you're welcome to join us. Please put up your name or speak to Christopher at the back. Sorry? Yes, my wife said you need some muscles. But the more there are, the lighter the load is. the ladies can push the button. This week I was away at a 40th birthday celebration of my brother-in-law, and his wife arranged a surprise party for him, and so many of his friends came from all over the world. He himself came to South Africa from the UK. There were people flying in from the UK, from America, from Canada, from South Africa. We all came together to surprise him. And it was such an amazing time, not just with him, but those who were invited and actually came. We all were together at the same time in the UK church, starting our life as young adults together. And it was a reunion of a great impact and significance, seeing friends that we haven't seen for 15 years and just having so many conversations about where we all started off as young men and young women and how we lived, where we started off, where we are at the moment and where we are heading. It was really an amazing time together. And all of us are on a journey. Just like the group of us that could reflect back where we started and where we're at and where we're going, so too all of us are on the same journey. We all started off somewhere, and we're currently somewhere, and we're on our way somewhere else. And this morning I want to share with you a portion of scripture that I meditated on during this week and also shared with my friends, since I was the only pastor there and we had a Sunday breakfast. It's the normal thing to do, you know. 8:30, it's time to share. And so I also briefly had an opportunity to share this portion of scripture, and I want to share it with us also. Hebrews 6, a very well-known portion of scripture from verse 13. For when God made a promise to Abram, since he had no one greater by whom to swear, he swore by himself, saying, surely I will bless you and multiply you. And thus Abram, having patiently waited, obtained the promise. For people swear by something or someone greater than themselves, and in all their disputes an oath is final for confirmation. So when God desired to show the more convincingly to the heirs of the promise the unchanging character of his purpose, he guaranteed it with an oath. So by two unchangeable things in which it's impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge may have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope that is set before us. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain, where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. What a powerful encouragement. The first thing that stood out for me is the fact that God made a promise. God does not need to make a promise. God never lies, he cannot lie, and his word is true. He simply needed to make a statement, yet God made a promise. And he confirmed it with an oath. God making an oath? as if that is necessary. God, who cannot lie, does not lie, does not change, makes a promise with an oath, not for himself, but for us. He made an oath so that we may have certainty in what was said. Here, verse 16, for people swear by something greater than themselves, and in all their disputes, an oath is final for confirmation. So when God desired to show more convincingly to the heir of the promise the unchanging character of his purpose, he guaranteed it with an oath. God made a promise and guaranteed it with an oath. Not for his sake, but for our sake. So that we may be convinced, sure of the unchangeable character of this purpose and promise. And so it puts emphasis, doesn't it, on exactly what was promised. What can we be absolutely sure and convinced of? This promise. Verse 18 puts it this way, so that by two unchangeable things in which it's impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge may have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope that was set before us. And so what is this promise that God made to Abram? In Genesis 12, verse 1 to 3, we read of this. It says, the Lord said to Abram, go from your country, your people and your father's household to a land that I will show you. And I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and I will curse those who curse you. And all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. What a powerful promise. What a powerful promise. Yet at great risk. I want you to leave your country. Leave your home, your people, and follow me. I want you to leave what is certain, what is seen, and what is sure, and I want you to leave that and follow me to a land that I'm going to show you in the future. God didn't give him a WhatsApp pin of where this promised land is. He simply said, I want you to leave everything you know and are certain of. Your identity, your future, your certainty. I want you to leave all that behind and I want you to follow me to a land that I'm still going to show you. Came at great risk. Leave everything you know, the certainty that you have and see, and go to a place you do not know. And all you have is my word. All you have. It's my word, my promise. And therefore there are two aspects to actually accepting, embracing, and following. It is faith and hope. You need to have faith in the one who promised, and you need to have hope in what is promised. Faith that the one who promised is true and faithful and trustworthy, but also that what is promised is something greater than what you currently have. Your land, your people, your identity, your security. I want you to leave all of that for something greater. It is called hope. Hope for something greater than what we already have. And that is what God presented by oath, not just to Abram, but to all of us. Galatians, so powerfully, before we go there, it's interesting how Paul summarizes this covenant. Because here, he summarizes it into one phrase. This entire passage that we just read summarized into one phrase. Surely, I will bless you and multiply you. the summary of a covenant, a promise. By oath, God says, I will bless you and I will multiply you. What a powerful promise. By oath, I will bless you and I will multiply you. But this promise was not just to Abram. It was to all of us. We read this in Galatians 3 verse 29. But if you belong to Christ, then you are Abram's seed and heirs according to the promise. Verse 18 in Hebrews 6 said, we who have fled for refuge, we who have moved from this world, what is seen and known, and have accepted Christ and follow him, might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. This is very encouraging when you start off your life as a young man following Jesus. And we all started off our life that way. Surely I will bless you and multiply you. It was so interesting with my group of friends just to hear their journey over 15 years, where we started and where they're at, and so clearly blessed and multiplied. Blessed and multiplied. But just like Vanner preached last week, revelation has to be followed with engagement before you receive the blessing. It's not the revelation of God's promise that leads to the blessing. It is our engagement, acceptance, and acting upon it, doing something in relation to it. Abram had to leave, and so do we. We have to leave this world and the way this world thinks. No longer identify with the world and the things in this world, but identify with God and His things and His ways. Verse 15 puts it this way, and thus Abram, having patiently waited, obtained the promise. He had to leave, go to a land he did not know, and wait. He had to wait. Oh, that's so difficult for us today. To wait. He had to patiently wait. You see, Abram first had to believe and trust God. That was the revelation part. But then he had to leave his country and family, which is the engagement part, and wait, trust in the promise. Wait patiently for something that seemed impossible. And even when he failed to trust in God's timing, God remained faithful to his promise. It's amazing. Even when in his own understanding it no longer made sense, in his own timing it is not possible, and took things in his own hands, God still remained faithful to his promise. I will give you a son from your wife Sarah. And through your offspring, all the nations of the world will be blessed. Because I will send my son through your descendants to save the world, to reconcile them to myself, and give them an eternal inheritance, an eternal land, eternal reward, and an eternal home. That is the blessing. That is the hope that is set before all of us, that God is leading us to our promised land and an inheritance waiting for us. And we are just passing through on our way. We have a promise of an eternal land and an inheritance and rest waiting for us. It is not in this world, in this life. It is a place overflowing with abundance and blessing in the presence of God Himself. As God said, I will bless you and multiply you. This promise gives us hope. Hope in something yet unrealized, not yet seen, not yet experienced. the blessing we receive in this life as we journey towards the promised land. Just like Abram was blessed on his way to the promised land, so we are also blessed in this life. But whatever blessing we receive in this life is only a down payment of the blessing that is waiting for us. It is not the blessing in this life, but the blessing in the life to come that is our hope set before us. This hope is something not fully gained in this life. As Romans 8 verse 24 puts it, "For in this hope we are saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently." We wait for it patiently. Hebrews 11 from verse 8 puts it this way, "By faith Abram, when called to a place he would later receive as an inheritance, obey and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did his offspring Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to a city with foundations whose architect and builder is God." This hope that is set before us will only fully be realized when we see God one day face to face. Then this hope will no longer be hope. It will be seen, experienced, and will become a reality. A hope of a city whose architect and builder is God. The new Jerusalem, when there is a new heaven and a new earth, we will finally rest. We will finally be home. In our own land. In our own promised land. Be careful to follow a gospel, a philosophy, or a worldview that puts your greatest hope in this life. Our greatest hope is not in what we gain in this life. Be careful for the doctrine and the philosophy that teach you that is where our hope should be, to live what we gain only in this life. They are all false, and they will disappoint in the end. But we have a promise from God made by oath that gives us hope, a sure and steadfast anchor to the soul. Verse 18 says, "We who have fled for refuge may have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul." My emotions, my intellect, my understanding, my soul needs an anchor. It needs to be secure in all the storms and currents of this world. All the ways the world goes, the current in which it flows, and what it teaches and what it loves and what it believes. We need an anchor in our souls. We are constantly drawn by the currents of this world to be blessed and multiplied in the world's ways. The world's definition of success, the deceitfulness of riches, the cares of this world, and the love for other things draws us constantly away from the promise of God. Like the parable of the sower, these currents, even though we receive the word with great joy, but because of the deceitfulness of riches, the cares of this world, and the love of other things, they become unfruitful in the kingdom of God. The currents of this world. Or we face storms in this life. Uncertainty and disappointment and loss. In the midst of the storm, you need an anchor. You need an anchor lest your faith goes shipwreck. Like so many do. When they suffer loss or disappointment, their faith runs shipwreck because it's not anchored. It's not anchored in God's promise and hope in His promise. And because our greatest hope is still in this life, and in our own understanding and timing, it takes longer than expected, we are tempted to cut loose from the anchor and drift with this world. But what makes us secure is our trust in God's promise. Trust in His promise. That makes us secure. We will not follow the promise of man above the promise of God. We will not follow man's ways that are contrary to God's ways. And we will put our trust in God and wait patiently for Him. Wait patiently for His promise. God alone is the anchor of our soul. The anchor in whom we have hope. Whatever blessing we receive in this life is simply a down payment. And because our greatest hope is not in this life, we can lose everything in this life and still have hope. Because our promised land, our inheritance, our pension is not here. It is waiting for us. And so we can lose everything in this life and still have hope. Verse 18 puts it this way. We who have fled refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain, where Jesus has gone as a forerunner of on our behalf, having become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. This hope is not just our promised land of blessing and rest. This hope is secure. This hope that we have is secure. It is secure because Jesus went before us and secured it for us. This promise made to us is secure because someone else already obtained it on our behalf. It is not dependent on my perfection to gain this promise. It is dependent on Christ, who is perfect, who has already achieved it for me. This gives me great hope. I cannot lose this hope because it's not dependent on my perfection. It is dependent on His perfection. And He has already achieved it for me. So my hope is secure. It's not me holding the anchor. It's Jesus holding it for me. He has gone before us into the inner place behind the curtain where we could not go. The curtain that separated man from the holiest of holies, that man could not enter because of our sinfulness, because of our limitations. Because of our own soul and our weakness in our emotion and mind and perfection, Jesus did it for us. The curtain that separates us from God's presence and glory, the curtain that separates us because of our sin and sinfulness, as Romans 3 says, we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. He has gone before us as a forerunner. On our behalf, He was tempted in every way, yet He did not sin. He was perfect. Only He could stand before God as a sinless man, righteous before God. And on our behalf, He sacrificed Himself for our sin. And His righteousness was imputed, transferred to all of us who believe in Him. He did it for us, so that we may be saved by grace and not by works. Why? So that our hope might not be in us, in ourselves. Our hope is in Christ. Our hope is secure. His promise is not reliant on my perfection. It is Jesus, our forerunner, who has gone before us on our behalf. We have a hope that is not dependent on us. We have a hope that is not dependent on a man. We have hope that is dependent on a promise of God made by an oath and accomplished by Jesus Christ. And so therefore, we have two options in conclusion. In this life, we have two options. To either put our trust in God, in His word and His promise, or to put our trust in man, in ourselves. You're either going to put your trust in God and your hope in Him, or you can put your trust in man and in yourself. You're either going to follow God who has gone before us, follow Christ who has gone before us and already established our future for us, or we're going to follow our own path that God says leads to destruction. The one, there is hope in this life only. The other, there is hope in this life and eternal life. So, let us continue to hold fast to the hope that is set before us. Let us continue to follow Christ through every storm and resist every current that wants to draw us away from God. Let us put our faith and hope in the one who is faithful, who has promised by an oath, surely I will bless you and multiply you and give you eternal life. Amen. That is only found through faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Galatians 3 verse 29. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abram's seed and heirs according to the promise. I'm going to ask the ushers to hand out communion as we reflect on these words. Let's close our eyes. Father, we thank you that we can come to you this morning, having received a promise. God, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that you will open the eyes of our understanding, that we may know this hope, this inheritance that we have received from you. Lord, I pray that, Holy Spirit, that you will not just give us revelation, but that you will give us the grace to respond to it and to wrestle, engage with it in our hearts and minds, and that we will put our faith and trust in your promise. That we will live for you and follow you as you lead us to our promised land. That we will not be distracted, but that we will focus on you, hold fast on you, and follow you. Lord, I pray as we hand out communion, are we handing out communion? I think we can start. As we hand out communion, I want us to take an opportunity to reflect. If you are going through storms and suffer loss, this is not your end. Hold on to the anchor. Don't let your faith run shipwreck. Your inheritance is not in this life. No matter what you lose in this life, take courage. This is not the end. This is not your inheritance you are losing. It is waiting for you. It is waiting for you. Do not let your faith run shipwreck. And if you are already blessed and multiplied, this is not your end. hold on to the anchor. Do not let the currents of this world pull you away from God. Your inheritance is not in your hand. It is in His hand. It's waiting for you. And so I want to give you an opportunity this morning just to reflect on that. If you're going through a storm, you're suffering loss, this is not your end. Hold on to the anchor. If you're already blessed and multiplied, this is not your end. Hold on to the anchor. Your inheritance is not in this life. Let's just take a moment. As we wait for the elements and wait for one another, we're going to eat and drink together. As you wait, let's reflect on that for a moment. Where are we at? Where did we come from? Where are we at? But most importantly, where are we heading? Who are we following? Who are we trusting? In whom do we set our hope? Let it be Jesus. Amen. Let's just take a moment. Let's just speak to the Lord in our own words. Yes, Father, while all our eyes are closed, Lord, we want to thank you this morning that you've given us a promise. And you've made an oath. And even though we are not able to keep our side of it, you send your Son to become man on our behalf and keep the promise and fulfill it to the end. So that we can be certain, not just by your oath, but by your Son, that you are able to do what you have promised, to raise us from the dead to eternal life, to be seated with you in heavenly places. Lord, we want to thank you for your diligence in giving us certainty, encouragement, and hope. Lord, I want to pray for anyone here this morning that have not yet accepted this offer of eternal life, blessing, and multiplication. If you are here this morning and you've never accepted this offer of life, God is offering it to you today. Not based on your works, but His grace. Doesn't matter what you've done or where you come from. He's offering you life, blessing, and multiplication, and a promised land waiting for you, a family to belong on a journey. If that is you this morning and you want to surrender to God, you want to give your life, I wanted to ask you just to raise your hand and say, Lord, here I am. I want to receive your invitation of life. If that is you this morning, why don't you raise your hand? Is there anybody here? For the rest of us, if you're going, there's a hand. Thank you for that hand. Thank you for that hand. Kenny, will you pray there? Is there anyone else? For the rest of us, if you're going through a storm and you need grace, I want to pray for you from here. If that is you, will you just raise your hand? God, I'm going through a storm and I need your grace. Thank you for those hands. You're going through a storm and you need grace because you've come to your end. I've got good news for you. Jesus has gone before us and he will take hold of your hand. Father, I pray for each and every hand that was raised. Lord, I pray that at this moment, Holy Spirit, that you will come and give them great encouragement that you are with them, that you will not leave them, you will not forsake them, but you will carry them through, and whatever they lose, you will restore. I thank you for that. If you're going through a blessing, if you've been blessed and you've been multiplied, but the currents of this world are pulling you astray, and you need grace to hold on to him, not to be distracted, but to be focused, to be refocused, and to live for him first. Just raise your hand and say, God, here I am. I need your grace, Lord, not to be distracted by what I'm blessed with, but to be focused on you, Lord. Give me grace to hold on to you. If that is you, just respond by raising your hand. Thank you for those hands, just between you and the Lord. Lord, I pray for each and every hand that is raised, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you will draw them close to you, Lord. As they choose to turn back to you, Lord, you will hold them and you will hold them tightly, Lord, against the current of the world that wants them to go astray, that leads them to put their faith in their riches and their trust in it and not in you, Lord. Make them secure in you afresh and new. Give them a passion and a zeal to find you, to acknowledge you and to worship you and to serve you with everything that you have blessed them with. Father, we thank you for giving us your Son. Has everybody received bread? Anybody we passed? I've been passed. I need a bread and a cup. Thank you, Theo. Anybody that missed the cup? Father, we thank you. We thank you that you not only promised by oath, but you made the covenant again. You made it afresh and new. This time, apart from the law, and our perfection. Lord, you made it through your Son who is our perfection. Lord, we thank you that you came and you took our imperfection, our unrighteousness, our sinfulness, our imperfection upon yourself. And you were punished so that we can be free. So that we can get your righteousness and stand before God, declared holy and pure. We thank you for this. Let us not forget as we eat, in Jesus' name. Let us not forget where we came from. Let us not forget the cost of saving us. Lord, we thank you for this cup that is the blood of your Son, the new covenant that you sealed in his name by grace. You came to us to show us with uncertainty that the price for our sin was paid and that through faith in him we have redemption and will also be raised into a living hope with you. Lord, we thank you for this covenant in which we stand, made not for your sake, but for our sake. Sealed not just by a promise, but the blood of your Son, that we may have absolute certainty in what you said you will do. We thank you for this great salvation we have. And as we drink together, we will live together for you, for your glory, in Jesus' name. Let's drink together. Amen. Amen. Go in the promise of God. Go and multiply, be blessed, and live for His glory. And know your inheritance, your reward is waiting. Amen. Go share the good news. Thank you for coming. If you need some prayer, we're going to be here in the front. May God bless you. Please enjoy this day and some fellowship. And trust to see you next week. Amen.